Welcome back to Tech Days 2017. Before I introduce our next speaker, there's one piece of housekeeping that I've been forgetting all day. We're really pleased that we've got an additional session tomorrow. Gene Kim, Mr. DevOps, is going to be talking to Steve Thayer tomorrow, so you should absolutely tune in and watch that. And I say I've singularly failed to mention it. However, right here, right now, we have, as we were just saying, a very long-standing UK MVP,
yeah.
Gordon McKenna.
Hi, Rick.
Who's been an MVP for a good 10 years plus.
Yeah.
He's CTO at Infromon. He's a cloud platform and management infrastructure.
Almost, cloud and data center management.
Yeah.
MVP.
The stuff that I definitely don't do. Managing your servers, managing your infrastructure, yeah. Doing your monitoring, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's great that Gordon's here today. So he's carrying on our story where we've moved our stuff into the cloud, be that Windows workloads or Linux workloads, open source or not. And we want to know how they're working, how they're humming, is everything working well? And it's that sort of management and monitoring story. So over to you, Gordon.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. So hi, everybody online. So as Rick mentioned, my name's Gordon McKenna, Cloud and Data Center Management MVP. So basically, that's all of the stuff that allows you to manage your applications, allows you to manage PaaS, IaaS, all those kind of things in the cloud. And obviously, today we're going to be focusing on managing Linux with Operations Management Suite, which is one of the new cool hybrid cloud tools that Microsoft have got in place now to allow you to kind of really do that end-to-end management of your applications, whether on-prem or in the cloud.
Okay.
So let's get going. So I'm going to put this slide up here. I know a lot of people smile at this, but Microsoft loves Linux, and Microsoft really does love Linux. You know, gone are the days when Microsoft used to compete against that platform. Nowadays everybody runs Linux in their data center, mm-hmm. and actually more and more people are running Linux in the cloud, right? Because it's very easy to spin up. It fits a kind of DevOps strategy.
Yep.
And you know, many of the applications now don't just come on the Microsoft stack, they come on Linux and might have things like a Drupal backend or might be running on kind of MySQL, those types of elements. So being able to support all of those platforms. And I have to say, Microsoft have been making a significant investment in Linux. So anybody that kind of follows the way that kind of Microsoft have been working with the community around open source will know there's been significant investment into things like SUSE and Red Hat,
yep.
and also significant contributions. And also, you know, Docker is a big case of kind of Microsoft leaning in with an open source community and really trying to kind of make that platform a standard across industry that everybody can use.
I know, Microsoft engineers are constantly committing to the Linux kernel, isn't it? It's
absolutely.
Your father's Microsoft, as we like to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've seen that come on from, you know, the early days of when we used to manage Linux with SCOM and Microsoft kind of getting involved with writing open source agents all the way up to using all the latest technologies to drive agents now and understanding how to link things like Linux diagnostics into Azure to be able to do that extra depth of monitoring as well.
Okay.
And you know, Azure is an open cloud, right? I work day to day with Azure, with customers, helping them understand that kind of journey that they need to go on. And you know, it's across a plethora of applications and technologies. You know, things like gone are the days when everything ran on kind of SQL Server and Oracle. Today, you know, we've got Redis and Mongo and MySQL and ClearDB. You know, that are kind of running the back end to a lot of applications out there. We've got different types of web platforms. I mentioned Drupal, WordPress, Joomla, and Braco. Those type of platforms providing CMS, you know, as well as the traditional .NET platforms. And obviously as well, Microsoft support across a variety of devices. I know we have a session next talking about Xamarin. You know, that's a way of being able to deliver applications very simply across multiple devices. And, you know, and of course, you know, on Linux, which is our target today, you know, there's support on Azure for Red Hat, Ubuntu, SUSE, OpenSUSE, CentOS, Oracle. For example, and also, you know, you'll find things like OMS supporting things like Amazon Linux as well, which people might be surprised to hear.
I did not know about that one.
So being able to, you know, go not only be able to kind of support on the Microsoft cloud, but look across cloud as well, because the reality is some organizations are doing multi-cloud strategy now, right?
So, in fairness, the stuff you're going to talk to us about today is not Azure specific, is it, Gordon? It might be an Azure service, but I'm not monitoring stuff that's only in Azure. It could be an AWS.
It could be on any cloud. It could be, in something like Rackspace on-premise. Okay. It could be running on OpenStack, for example. So, this is, what we're talking about today is monitoring any environment in any cloud, anywhere it is.
Okay. You know? So is this our mythical single pane of glass?
This is our mythical, all those people that know System Center have been kind of wanting that mythical pane of glass. Well, this is kind of next generation of that.
Okay.
And, if anybody wants to know why Microsoft love Linux, well, 29% of all Azure VM hours today are running on Linux workloads, right? And I'm definitely think that's going to increase. It's very simple to do, as we mentioned. There's a lot of kind of community-based DevOps practices that are around kind of non-Microsoft platforms as well. So definitely, the investment's in the right place, in my opinion. And, what if, a couple of points on here. What if we could transform the way you manage IT? So, cloud brings the need to be more standardized about the way that you do management and operations. You need to really have a lot of automated processes, right? It's great spinning up all these virtual machines really quickly using, infrastructure as code. But, cloud is a different shift, right? We're not paying for you running in rack 24/7. Yep. We want to be able to shut things down. So having automated processes that can bring stuff up and shut this down. And this is very much something that me and my team have been working quite heavily on around doing those automated processes and configurations. You also need to be able to respond proactively to business needs. So, in the old days, we had System Center and SCOM. I say the old days, it's still very much a relevant product
today.
It's very
last year now, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But, new version out 2016. Mm-hmm. And there are still certain scenarios where, it still makes sense to use something like Operations Manager. If you're using a lot of on-premise kind of workloads that are kind of, your CRMs and exchanges and SQL servers on-prem, it still makes sense using a product like Operations Manager. But when we move to the cloud, and, you already mentioned Docker and containers and things like that, when we move to the cloud, we're no longer restricted to the hardware and the operating system that an application runs on. So if you look at the way SCOM works, it's very much, or Operations Manager, for those who don't know what SCOM is, Operations Manager is very much focused around monitoring a piece of hardware, a piece of tin, an operating system, the applications that run on that operating system. In the cloud, in a container world, we don't really have that shift at all. I mean, in the cloud, firstly, we're not worrying about the fabric, the underlying hardware under the fabric.
Okay.
We're only kind of doing from the OS upwards. And actually in a containerized world, right, we're not even in one place. So it's all about being able to manage the application and understand how the application works in your environment and understand dependencies, to allow you to kind of respond proactively to issues that arise, right? So, all of this has required a shift in the way that Microsoft kind of look at monitoring and a shift in the way that they imply monitoring techniques to troubleshoot problems.
Okay, so just to be clear though, we're not talking about replacing my existing SCOM, SCVMM, all that kind of stuff that I've got on-prem already. We're talking about augmenting it. We're talking about this sort of healthy, balanced diet of cloud rather than replacing everything.
Absolutely. One of the things that we're going to talk about today, which is the main thing around OMS, is something called Log Analytics.
Okay.
And, log analytics is something that wasn't achievable with an on-premise solution like SCOM because you're restricted by database size and, compute power that you could actually physically run. Now in the cloud, we have, unlimited compute and we have things like Hadoop, which are really easy to use that give us really quick querying. So, log analytics is becoming a now thing in IT. And in fact, in a lot of large organizations, I'm seeing enterprise monitoring teams and IT enterprise operational analytics teams sitting side by side running IT, and both different disciplines, right? People monitoring and doing real-time alerts, and other people doing kind of operational analysis of problems, and you know, them coming together to solve problems in a different way that they've done before.
Okay, so it's allowing us to do something that we couldn't do on-prem just because of that sort of shift in perspective, shift in scale, shift in capability.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it requires, you know, cloud is a different way of running your IT, right? And you need to be moving. I have a really common saying where, you know, customers today need to move from doing lights on IT to doing business enablement.
Okay.
Right, and it's such a true saying. I think, you know, I think pretty much everybody today understands cloud needs to be part of their strategy in some way. And where cloud should be part of your strategy is becoming a business enabler, right? So actually having something which does the lights on IT for you, allowing you to focus on the business enablement is an important addition to any kind of IT team today.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's have a quick look at OMS, high level, and then we'll kind of dive in and do some demos. So Operations Management Suite, what's in it, right, first of all? So the bit that I'm going to kind of focus on heavily today is the log analytics, or operational insights, as it's kind of known. And this is really high volume log collection, you know, from event logs, sys logs, diagnostic logs, and then the ability to be able to do ultra fast search on that. I kind of think of it being like a search engine. You know, you think about a search engine like Bing, for example, being politically correct there. Bing will allow me to kind of what in the back end goes out and discovers everything that's on the web, throws it into a big database, and then I can go to it and I can say, I've got error 1001 on my Windows 10 PC, for example. You put it in, you get 5,500 queries. You go, error 1001 to do with Outlook 2016. That narrows it down to, you know, maybe 250 queries. And then I kind of put the actual error name in and I get it down to 10 queries. I go down, I find the query one, I save that query.
Okay.
Right, you know, that's kind of way that we operate in a search engine type world. And I very much see log analytics as being that, and log search as being that same kind of function.
Okay.
Being able to look at all the data I've got in IT, go to a point in time that I've had a problem, drill down by using filters to that problem that I've got, and then saving that query. So next time a similar situation happens, I've got that query to hand, or I can plug it into Power BI to allow me to do proactive dashboarding, those types of things. So, you know, really that, you know, allows me to kind of get down to the root cause of problems very quickly. Backup and recovery is another feature. You know, again, I looking across this backup and recovery, IT automation, security and compliance, these are core things I think an IT manager, CTO kind of worries about, right? You know, are my problems being solved? Is my, you know, are my backups working? Is my DR working? And I've been in a couple of situations recently where people have had ransomware in the environment and have gone to kind of evoke DR and it hasn't worked, or gone to pull their backups and backups are, you know, inadequate. So being able to know my backup and recovery is doing, and you know, OMS provides integrated integration with cloud backup and ASR, Azure Site Recovery, which is a Microsoft DR solution. Then IT automation, you know, wherever I've got problems, I want the ability to be able to automatically fix them. So IT automation brings Azure automation into play, which for those system center people out there, it's the new version of Orchestrator, yeah, or the new hybrid version of Orchestrator. And, you know, it introduces a hybrid runbook worker rule. This is the ability to run Azure automation, not only in your public cloud, but in your private cloud too. So on premise.
All right. I didn't know that. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's got a graphical workbook like Orchestrator had, where you can kind of drag and drop things. And, it, you know, it brings into play, you know, authoring and automation through DSC as well, which is, you know, a big DevOps scenario today as well. And finally, you know, shouldn't be at the end, should be at the top, security and compliance, right? You know, the number one concern from my customers today is how secure and compliant is my platform going to be, right? You know, and I personally spend a lot of time working with customers, helping them understand what their security posture is. And OMS just delivers your security posture in a kind of single pane of glass or unified view.
OK. Okay. So it's sort of confidence and capability then. The confidence that I know I'm safe, I'm secure, and the capability to act automatically if I'm not or anything.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, bringing in, you know, we're focusing on Linux today, but, you know, a lot of appliances in the security world run on Linux platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, your firewalls, your edge perimeter network devices, you know, so being able to bring all that up into one place as well and being able to, you know, recognize threats very early is really important too.
It does say at the bottom of that slide there, Gordon, extending system center capabilities. Yeah. Does this mean if I don't have system center, OMS isn't for me, or can I use one without
the other? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I have many customers that are still just using system center, right? Because right. It meets their needs, it meets their goals. And actually, you know, OMS is an extended feature set to System Center.
So can I use OMS without System Center if I'm just a Linux shop
and
I want that?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the really great thing about OMS is if it's just log analytics you're looking for and you kind of just want that kind of dashboarding capability and you don't want some more of the rich real-time alerting capabilities, OMS is a standalone solution. You can deploy agents with it. We're going to look at that shortly. And you can actually get up and running in a very quicker time without having to kind of lay down the kind of infrastructure that you would for System Center.
Okay, great.
So again, what it's fast implementation, it's very extensible and it brings you dashboards. And again, just going back to the latter point, you know, that might be what people want, being able to get up and running quickly. You know, you can actually set this up within minutes. You can search billions of records with it. And, you know, it's evolving daily. I mean, I'm losing track with the amount of solution packs that are coming into it. By the day, they're adding. Just this week, we had PaaS packs added. And I'm going to show you that later, where you can start managing things like Embraco and Joomla and CMS systems. It's an open and flexible platform. It's got a very extensible API set. So you can query into it and pull data out. I can push data in for ingestion from my own sources. You can build it into ARM templates, use it with DSC automation. Very open and flexible platform today. And, you know, it's very simple. It's built into Azure. If you use Azure today, you can get up and running with it very quickly. And it reduces the overall kind of cost of running your kind of management infrastructure as well. And, you know, just talking about that kind of on-prem, you know, operations management suite, you know, we talked about it being multi-cloud, any cloud. You know, it can hook into Azure and manage your Linux VMs and your Windows Server VMs. You can turn on extra diagnostics with these virtual machines. Okay. And collect extra data to give you extra troubleshooting data. Okay. It also, Operations Manager Suite, not shown on this slide, hooks into things like your non-Microsoft applications as well to be able to, you know, if you're running them in PaaS, for example, and not VMs, we can pick up that data as well. Amazon Web Services, again, we can, it's guest-based, the agent, so we can put that on the virtual machines. We can collect diagnostics from Amazon's web services as well. And of course, you know, your private clouds on-prem, you know, might be Hyper-V, VMware. We have an out-of-the-box VMware solution for collecting data from the VMware host platform, OpenStack, Azure, and again, Windows Server and Linux VMs running on-prem. So really anywhere that you're running, you have a Linux footprint or, a non-Microsoft footprint, as well as a Microsoft footprint, we can hook in and manage that also.
And if my devs have decided on their own, bless them, proprietary log format, can I draw those logs in as well and teach OMS about them?
Yeah. I mean, we have a number. We can create. We've got the ability to collect custom logs.
Okay.
In there, so if you're writing to your own log, if you're writing in Azure, a lot of people write to Azure Table Storage. You know, Azure Diagnostics. So, we tend to try and get customers to write to the native diagnostics
thing.
We can pull it from that. But definitely if there's, you know, text log files or sys logs even on Linux, we can collect and push up. And we've even got the ability, you might have logs, for example, which aren't necessarily connected to the internet.
Okay.
On some devices, I had a customer the other day that was doing some IoT detection on a bridge. It wasn't connected to the data set, but we would go periodically, pick up the logs, and you can actually inject those log files up into OMS as well.
Okay, so sort of once a week I can gather the data.
Absolutely.
And manually upload it.
Oh, so you've got that data, so you can apply that rich kind of log analytics against that as well. So very flexible platform. And again, there's an ingestion API. It's a HTML API, right? So we a HTTP API, so we can actually directly ingest stuff from our own application into OMS as well. So incredibly wide-reaching. And I'm working with a number of partners like Barracuda and Trend at the moment, how to kind of make their solutions better talk into the platform so that I can just snap those solutions in. I don't have to kind of worry about, you know, doing any initial configuration with it as well.
Okay.
So, very nice looking dashboard view. So, you know, the idea of OMS really, or the OMS dashboard, is to give you many services in one dashboard. So you alluded to earlier that, you know, with System Center, you know, it was a single product but multiple different interfaces. And I think anybody that ran System Center, it was kind of that nirvana to get to that place where you kind of had a single dashboard. We now have that today. And I mean, I'm going to get up and just walk over to the board here. But, you know, just looking at the dashboard here, we've got AD assessments. This is actually pulling from SCOM agents on-prem that we're connecting to, and I'll talk a little bit about that connection. Okay. And it's like a best practices analyzer. It's showing me high priority recommendations, low priority. So high priority recommendation, you know, might be to set up replication in a certain way, or, you know, lock down shares on a particular server. So I can go in there and I can apply that, possibly use automation to drive that as well. Alert management takes a feed directly from SCOM. You know, anybody that's used Operations Manager will know, you know, it can, you know, in a busy environment, it's a busy old console with a lot of alerts. So this gives me a way of applying analytics across those alerts and looking at different kind of angles on the alerts. What are my top critical alerts within a certain time frame, for example?
So have you had to build those tiles, Gordon? Have you had to create queries?
No, these are all out of the box. So, you know, obviously the core of the engine is collecting log files and allowing you to query on it. What Microsoft have done with the solution packs is layered views over that data that brings certain analytical views and statistics to the surface so that you can look at things in a different way, right? Okay. So absolutely you can create your own ones in here, but, you know, one of the real beauties about this product is it actually comes with the ability to get up and running in seconds.
So it's a bit like an online real-time version of the old best practice analyzer tools we used to run.
Yeah, it's exactly. And actually, you know, the background for this historically was kind of, it was around a best practices analyzer solution that we're trying to build. So okay, it's actually come through a revision. And, you know, update management is another one, right? You know, how many IT managers or IT pros out there can say, put their finger on actually exactly what machines are updated, what machines have critical patches? And in today's world where cyber security is everything, right, protecting from these threats, you know, being able to have your finger on what your security posture is really important. Network performance monitoring. So we're kind of doing net flow type statistics between servers and looking at links and healthy subnetworks. You know, if you're running Operations Manager, we do a best practice analyze against Operations Manager, right? Okay. Just to make sure that you're running that correctly. Security and audit is a multitude of security things coming in from identity and access in Office 365 through to security logs, you know, through to some, you know, protection information that Microsoft are driving in to give you a view of what's going on in the outside world.
So that's what we were talking about earlier on with a different perspective from the cloud that I'm guessing, where because Microsoft see all of the tenants in Azure, they can give you information in there.
Absolutely,
that you
yeah. You know, I was with a customer the other week, and actually Microsoft identified, based on some patterns of traffic that were happening against their RDP farm, mm-hmm. that actually there had been an RDP brute force attack.
All right.
And this is Microsoft just looking at hundreds of people that have had this situation and saying, hey, we recognize that pattern as matching this pattern that we've had multiple times before.
Right.
This is an RDP brute force. These are some documents you can download to harden your environment. And these are some mitigation steps you can make to make sure that, you know, next time it's harder for them to kind of find your servers, those types of things. So
wow,
really useful value type stuff as well. Service map's probably my favorite bit of OMS at the moment. This is actually application dependency mapping. So some people out there might remember BlueStripe, which was a product that you could use with Operations Manager to do automatic service maps.
Okay.
Well, Microsoft bought this product a few years back, and it's now integrated into the product. And remember me talking earlier on about the container world?
Yep.
Well, actually, where application is king, that actually looks at applications and looks at their dependencies, right, and can map them together. And now the log data is being laid onto that, and I'll demo this later on because it's a very successful solution. So overall, you know, a lot of information in this dashboard, you know, in a single kind of unified view. So I think what I'm going to do is kind of jump in and do a demo at this point.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to really talk about...
You're extending your screen, not mirroring your screen.
Right,
sorry,
okay.
Rookie error.
Just bear with me a second.
I do that all the time. And I can't win, because if I decide to not... If I mirror my screen, not use presenter mode, I always forget where I'm in the deck as well. So there's no real good way of doing that, is there?
No. Ah, okay.
Remind me to teach you keyboard shortcuts there.
Yes.
So you're okay, you're mirroring there.
Right, okay, cool. So I want to really talk about, you know, how we set this thing up, how we get it on our machines. So,
okay, Gordon, how do we set this thing up? How do we get it on our machines?
So a couple of ways. So the first way, some of you may or may not have seen this. This is the Azure portal, or codenamed the Ibiza portal. So actually within here, we can actually go into our subscription and, you know, those of you that have MSDN accounts out there, right, you're entitled to kind of some Azure free credits, so you can get in and try this.
So is there a free version of OMS that I can use to dip my toe in the water?
There is absolutely a free version, which has a limit on the amount of data you can upload and the amount of data retention you can have.
Okay. But can I still use all those rich
rich features as well? Yeah. So definitely to get up and running and try this, there is a free version. So I'm just going to go into the log analytics, and you can see I've just selected this from the. From the left hamburger menu. And actually at this point, you could just create yourself a new Log Analytics subscription. And actually, you know, it's called Log Analytics in here, but it is OMS. You know, it's an OMS workspace that you build. And I can go in there and, you know, I can put a test name in there. I can add a resource group, pick a location, and you know, as you put there, I have a free tier that I can get up and running with that has some limitations, or I can go for a model which is per node or per gigabyte.
Okay, you know, so I assume per gig is how much log data I want to ship in there, and per node is what every server or service.
Yeah, that would be standalone. The per node one is generally if you want to use some of the system center components with it.
Okay.
So you might want to run Operations Manager on premise to kind of manage some of your big workloads, and you might want to complement that where you can buy per node, and it actually you're buying the ability to be able to use OMS and system center together.
Okay, right, that makes sense. So can I start with free and then
you can definitely start with free and you can scale that up.
Right.
And actually, there's a number of different packs. So it might be that you're just interested in, you know, insights and analytics, all right? So the log analytic piece. You could be interested in the security compliance piece because that's kind of where you're being focused. Or it could be the automation and control piece. So we've got various ways to cut what you're looking at depending on your focus, which is quite good because there's a lot of stuff in here and be able to get that initial type of focus. So... and good Blue Peter style. I'm going to go back to one I created earlier. So what you'll get is when you kind of get your workspace up, you'll see that you have kind of a long list of things that you can do with it. So I can kind of add some access control straight away if I want certain people to have access to elements of it. Those familiar with Azure will be familiar with the ability to be able to tag things as well. But I'm actually going to come down here to virtual machines and look at the workspace data sources. So this by far, if you're running virtual machines in Azure, for example, is the quickest way to get up and running. So you can actually see here that I've got a number of virtual machines in here.
So those are the ones that you've already connected to this OMS
workspace? Well, these ones with the little blue and the tick on are ones that I've already connected.
All right.
But actually, there's a number in here, like this SUSE instance, for example, which I haven't connected.
So is it helpfully just looking in your Azure subscription?
It's looking in my Azure subscription, and it's just coming up basically with a list of machines that I may not have connected. So I've got a Red Hat one here, for example. You can see it's not connected. Okay. And all I simply have to do to add that to OMS is click the connect button. And what that will actually do then is that's basically installing an OMS agent on my virtual machine. Okay. Now again, what we do, our DevOps team do quite a lot of the time with customers is we build this OMS agent into the ARM template. Okay. So it is possible to kind of script this as part of the ARM deployment.
So as you build the VM, the agent goes on, it automatically connects to OMS?
Yes, and it's a kind of seamless experience. And then everything that you're building in your environment automatically comes with that monitoring capability on it as well.
Right.
So I'm just going to go back. You can see also I've got an Ubuntu one there that's connected already. And I've got a Oracle Linux there as well. And I've got a Linux Docker one there as well that I'm just going to add in as well. Okay. So that's a Linux Docker host. And that's going to go away and add those agents. And then, I can also add in from here storage accounts that I might be using. So you can see here, I've got various places that I'm putting events into.
So Mike Martin was talking this morning about outputting logs and things from his app services into storage accounts.
So this is exactly it. Yeah. Okay. So what I've actually done is when I've set up some of my VMs, I've actually set up additional monitoring, like enabling boot analytics or boot diagnostics, I should say. Right. And I've actually got things like Service Fabric events going into places as well. And these are all things that I can add in and add extra data sources into there.
And does OMS kind of figure out for itself what it is that's in that storage account then?
It absolutely works that out, and it makes that available to the log analytics engine in the background.
Okay.
And obviously in here as well, I can do things like kind of change my pricing tier if I want to come back in and update that. So, good overall control of my environment from here. Now, it might be that you want to get kind of up and running with this, and you just want to you want to kind of bypass this. Well, there is another way that you can go in as well, and I'll just show you that as well. So if I go to microsoft.com/OMS, I can actually go through the process of onboarding onto OMS this way as well. And this actually, as part of the process, will actually automatically create a Microsoft account for me as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that way I can go through the process, get very up and running very quickly with OMS without having to kind of go in and play around if you're a little less, savvy with the kind of, with the Azure portal as well. So that's another way of going in as well. And, one other thing that I want to talk about as well is... we have something also as well, if you want to get up and running very quickly, called the OMS Experience Center. So if you go to experience.mms.microsoft.com, you can actually fill in your details here. You download a PDF and you can actually get up and running with a demo environment here as well, which is actually fully populated with data also as well.
So that's not really something I want to connect to my environment, but somebody's helpfully built everything that I can see.
Yeah, it's got a lot of agents in at the back end that are kind of being monitored automatically. So if you just want to kick the tires on the products, there's some custom views in there, you can go in there and do that as well.
Okay.
So let's, I mustn't forget as well, the other way that we can connect as well. Let me just go back into that. Uh-huh.
It's always that terrible conundrum. I can talk to you to fill in the dead air. Yes. But at that point, you're totally going to mistype your password and the whole thing's going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah, you've obviously been there as well.
I may have been. Okay, then you typed it wrong anyway. Oh, no, I see. Yes. Right. Connect the gateway.
Connect the cache. Okay, and there's this. This is where I have to use my incredibly open source, but luckily this is a hidden away environment here. So what I'm actually connecting to here is an operations manager box, because obviously the other way that you can connect OMS, so I've shown one way, which is going in and enabling it through the Azure subscription. Another way, which is going in and doing it by going to Microsoft.com/OMS. The third way, should the demo gods be smiling on me, is to go in and do it from Operations Manager.
So if you've already got then you've got SCOM in place, you've got the agent on all of your machines, rather than needing to touch every agent, you can just say, hey, SCOM, talk to OMS.
Absolutely, yeah. So actually, with as long as you've got all the latest updates on, in the Administration Console on Operations Manager, you can actually go in and there's a section now for OMS, and you can go and sign up to a subscription in there,
okay. And
then add the computers you want monitored. Now, why is this an advantage? Well, you might already be managing a lot of Linux computers on-prem in SCOM, and you don't really want to go and redeploy anything to them. So all you do is you make that single connection, and then SCOM comes like a gateway, pushing information up to the cloud for you as well.
Okay.
So it actually saves you having to redeploy a lot of stuff. And obviously, my SCOM environment is decided to blank out. So we'll come back to that later.
So while we're waiting for that, so one follow on then. So I don't have SCOM. I do have machines on premise. You said earlier on I can install the same agent on my machines on-prem. What if I don't want all those machines, or what if they don't have internet access? Is there some way that I can do what SCOM's doing for me and collate that information and just send it up from one place?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mentioned about the offline log collection utility. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one way that we can do that. But also as well, you know, obviously we've looked in Azure and I've showed you through here how we can add agents to virtual machines just by clicking on them.
Yep.
But what if my machine isn't in Azure and doesn't have System Center, which I think was the question
you
asked.
Can I still get that agent?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to go back. Once you get your workspace up and running, we have a settings section here. And within the settings section, you can see we've got connected sources.
Okay.
So the connected sources could be Windows and Linux servers that are standalone. So if I go into the Linux server section, I can basically download a Linux agent from here. And don't you love it when your internet is not refreshing? There we go. So,
We can see the Windows one there. So is it exactly the same? I download my Linux agent. I can install that either by hand or whatever tooling I've got.
Yeah.
And you've got a workspace ID there. So have I got some kind of unique identifier there? Because I can say, hey, agent, here's your OMS instance. Go talk to that and push
your
data.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let me just flip back to here. It will be the only one that isn't working. That's the one I'm showing today.
To be fair, I think the moral is that, we don't have to be running our VMs in the cloud. We don't have to be running Windows VMs on-prem or Windows physical servers on-prem. We can connect whatever we like, largely.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, so the Windows agent is, you can download it directly from the OMS portal. You can also, it's available in a number of distros, I think, actually, on the Linux VM. So you might well be able to download the environment direct as well, which is quite useful. And we'll come back to that in a sec. So again, also, you mentioned about storage accounts. Well, there's documentation there on enabling the storage accounts, and that's actually something that you do from an elevated PowerShell command prompt, and you run a diagnostic PS1 script that actually connects all your storage accounts in. Again, there's System Center, so you can see I've got my SCOM environment connected. Mm-hmm. We've also got connections for Office 365.
All right.
So I can hook in and pull data, you know, about mail and identity and those types of things. And we also have Windows Telemetry as well, which is actually the ability to collect data from Windows 10 desktops. So we have something called Upgrade Analytics in OMS, which allows us to collect data about applications and remediation steps we might need to take during a migration as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back to my good and trusted has that stopped?
I think it has. I was just looking at the clock as well, Gordon. Thinking, Sorry, we've got plenty of time. Well, yeah, we've got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I say plenty of time.
Okay, cool. So, I'm just going to go into the settings section here again, and we'll just go back over this. So,
given that we are getting a bit short on time,
How
about you show us the cool stuff that you were talking about earlier on, the log analytics and the power? Because we've got our data in there. What you were saying was the really great stuff about this is the fact that we can analyze it, we can report on it.
Yeah. So obviously Connected Source is there just to show you that. You can download the agent. And there's some great guides there. You might want to download the agent directly from the Linux installation.
Okay.
The other thing that I will say here, and I'll focus on the Linux here, in here we have some default Linux performance counters that we collect.
Okay.
But I can actually add other counters in here. So if I do a wildcard on this, I can actually see a host of other Linux counters that I can add in as well. Also in here, we have our syslog section, where I can actually add the name of the facility that's providing the syslog. And actually, let's go in and kind of have a look at what kind of results we get as well. So I'm going to go into the log search. So this is a bit that I told you is like the kind of search engine bit. And you can get started by just typing in, you know, the word Linux, for example. And you can see here, I've got some example Linux ones here. So if I'm looking for something that has a list of classification updates, I can kind of click in on that, for example. And actually what I've, I'll do that again. You can also, let me just pick one here. So there's one which has actually shown me all the data that's running on my kind of Linux machines from updates. And actually what I've done here in my dashboard section is I've done a couple of pre-canned queries.
Okay.
Right, that was handy, I had them there. And actually I've got one which actually just displays my Linux servers that are in there. And then I can drill into any of these and look at the data on those particular servers from here as well. I've also got another one here which looks at Linux performance data. And obviously this is stuff that you can all query. These are just saved queries that have gone. So this is looking at kind of syslog data. So you can see there I've got various information coming up from the syslogs. And again, you know, one of the beauties with this is if I'm just interested in activity on my Red Hat box, I can drill down to that. You see how quickly that's done? It's took that down to 308 results. And if I'm just interested in information related to daemons, I can click on that. That's brought it down to 4 results. So very quickly, I can get to the root cause problems of things that are going on there. I then have the ability to export that data. I can save that data to Power BI.
Okay.
I can create an alert on that data. I can save that data, add it to favorites, add it to the history. And I just want to just quickly focus on the alert rule stuff. So error with daemon. I'm just going to create a title on here. Quick description, criticality level. I can choose the alert frequency. And I can generate the alert based on a number of results or metric measurement. So I'm going to say, well, if I get the number of results is greater than 5, and then I can actually, you can see it's picked up my email address, but I can put an email subject in.
Okay.
And then actually down here, I can trigger a webhook in an application. I can trigger a runbook. And also what's coming in preview at the moment is the ability to create tickets directly in ITSM service desk.
So you've quickly found the error. You've realised that it might happen again.
Yeah.
You've generated an alert, so you can do something. And if you know how to fix it with a script, then you can trigger the script. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just other really useful things in here in my last minutes. you can see here actually that I've got performance metrics. So now one of the great things about this is, as well as looking at the data from a table point of view, I can look at all your individual stats if you want to look at that. I can actually look at it very quickly from a memory point of view. So again, I've got my CentOS server here and I'm looking at all the performance counters, my Ubuntu server that I'm collecting in there. And I can very quickly go down and look at that memory over a period of time and drill into a particular area that I'm interested in. And, you know, I can look at things like average and last on that. So again, not only troubleshooting errors that are occurring in there, but being able to go in and troubleshoot errors that are happening with performance as well, you know, is very, very valuable. Particularly if, you know, you're trying to find out what's caused a spike in your application. Wow. And you kind of want to look at that, and you can see that's processor time, and we drill in below to all of the individual elements that we're looking at from a processor time.
And all from a really simple install and agent.
Yeah, and you know, also as well, configuration changes is something you might want to collect. So this is, we're looking at particular configuration changes with daemons that have run on the service. Again, if I'm troubleshooting, seeing stuff that stopped and started. And also update compliance, right, is an important thing. You know, I know a lot of people tell me that Linux and Unix never need updating, but I would argue this says different here. And again, I can look at you know, the amount of critical updates that I've got in there, and I can drill into that particular section. And you know, I can see updates need to be applied, how long those updates are, you know, what are required. And actually, I can even with this actually automatically push the updates out now with it as well.
Okay.
So, you know, again, because I've got an agent on there, I can actually push agents directly, or push updates directly out to agents. So all in all, very, very powerful. You know, so, you know, looking at individual Linux computers is a given. You know, we also, though, and one final thing I just want to touch on is we've got...
Give you 30 seconds.
Yes. We've got the ability to look at application insights. I know that's something you use quite a lot.
So we can wire app insights in as a source of data and do our log searching.
And what's actually brand new as well is the ability to look at PaaS-based applications, right? So, you know, both SQL and this is web analytics. And you can see in here I've actually got Embraco and I've got Drupal. And I can actually look at web app request trends. I can look at response times and I can look at web app traffic. So it's starting to expand out into other areas in the cloud that people have open source applications.
Okay.
So overall, you know, really very simple to set up, very easy to get added. I hope we showed that today. And very easy to kind of get up and running with your own type of data in there to start really bringing you some results that help you kind of look at the environment, yeah?
So incredibly powerful. We could talk about it all day. We have unfortunately run out of time. Don't go away. Gary Whitaker up for our final session on Xamarin. Thanks so much.
Thank you.